This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're about to launch into a Mad Wednesday Joy podcast with Dean, Dylan, and Venus.
This is Mad Wednesday on Joy, and Dean, we have a special guest with us.
I mean, everyone knows by now, last week the Melbourne International Arts Festival launched their program for this year, and it is so exciting and so fantastic. And we are so lucky to have in the studio with us today the artistic director, Jonathan Holloway. Hello. G'day.
We'll wait for the applause to end.
We love the applause.
I always do.
What an exciting program you've got this year.
Thank you. We're really thrilled with it. And it's been a great response since the launch, so couldn't be more happy.
You can only launch it once, like a ship.
That's right.
And then it goes on its journey. And you have to wait until October for it to actually happen. A lot of planning on the way.
A lot of planning. And a big team of people working incredibly hard to do things. But now we're out in the world, it's great that people are buying tickets and that things are really selling well. So too exciting. And and this is my third festival. So I feel like I've been around the traps just a little bit now.
You know what you're doing now? You're at the peak. You've got it going on.
Well, not quite at the peak. I've got one more after this.
So it's your penultimate festival.
I'm heading towards the peak, but yeah, definitely, I hope.
Well, coming up with, I mean, where you've got the comedy festival, it's all about laughing. You've got other festivals that fit in here, there, everywhere. But, you know, the Melbourne International Arts Festival, that's kind of huge.
It's all, you were saying it's about, that the comedy festival is about laughing, and I feel like the festival, the International Arts Festival, is about experiencing things that you never normally would experience. So, yes, there's some amazing large-scale work from all around the world. There's also intimate work from Melbourne seen in spaces that it would never normally be. And it's just a series of, it's 19 days of experiences that will hopefully change your year.
It must be really exciting to have to kind of curate what all of that is.
It is. For me, it starts with a question or two about who we are and where we are and what the most important things are in our society. And then after I've got the first few bits of work, it becomes about the jigsaw puzzle of what balances and what will surprise people. And you're building on the year before, and it's sometimes difficult to build on a successful year because you're thinking, right, where did we leave it? Where do we pick it back up again?
So. And you don't want it to be that good this year, because then your final year you have to even do any more work. You want to rest on your laurels.
This year I've absolutely programmed it to be tremendously average. That's
yeah,
my
and then next
that's my,
year,
that's my aim. Lower the expectation. In the words of someone who did a 24-hour show last year, lower the expectation.
I mean, that was exactly 24-hour show. Like that was extreme.
Yes, it was.
But it's great to be able to have these bold artistic works that are going to explore things in this way and challenge things in so many different ways. And it's really great that you're able to help bring those to fruition.
And you never lose the thing you had. I mean, we had that show. People who saw it, a lot of people saw it and still talk about it on a daily basis. But now what we do is we make new memories. We go in to see Silk Road Ensemble with Mark Morris's unbelievable dancers performing Layla and Majnun, which will just be mind-blowing and completely stunning for an audience who go and see Silk Road Ensemble playing in Australia for the first time, founded by Yo-Yo Ma 20 years ago, and some of the best musicians on the planet, and then 18 of the best dancers in the world dancing this incredible piece that in the State Theatre for 5 performances.
Do you love that you're able to actually allow and create a space here in Melbourne for works like that to be shown and seen?
Love it to bits. Love it. I never take it for granted. Not for a moment. I bet there is. Occasionally Wednesday night, glass of wine. Hey, I've got a great job. But actually, it's something you look after for a period of time. So I'm in this role for 4 years, and I know that and then I hand it on to the next person. It's one of those roles that carries on. That's bigger than any individual. And so there's an honour to it and a trust to it. But yeah, the idea of bringing fantastic circus or incredible music to a city that is already so vibrant is really exciting.
Well, let's talk about what's going on in the program this year. What are some of the things that are really exciting you to be bringing to the Melbourne International Arts Festival?
So really excited about the big circus. We haven't had a major tented circus for a really long time.
And this there clowns? Because Dylan's afraid of clowns.
There are no clowns.
Scared of clowns.
Okay, there's no clowns. There's minimal juggling because I also have a bit of a
save the juggling fear. For Dean.
No live animals unless you, except the people. It's sassy. It's sexy. It's for families in all ages, but it's kind of close up. It's in, you're sat right on the edge of the ring. It's kind of four rows of seats around a 42-foot ring of for circus. It happens over your heads. It happens behind you. Live music. It's celebrating 250 years since the creation of modern circus and the creation of the circus ring.
It's great to be able to also have like a family-friendly event and not have everything be happening late at night or where, you know, people can't experience what art is in its many different forms and no matter what age they are.
And it's great for families, but it's also fundamentally sassy, so it's great for anyone at all. And then alongside that, you have work which is absolutely kind of exquisite and extreme. And we were referencing a long show last year. One of the shows this year is a relatively short
show. You've gone from 3 hours just to 3 minute show, right?
So like I wish I had.
You walk in the door, you walk out.
You know what? People talk about a good show. A short show is a good show. Yeah. But truth be told, it's two axes. There's the x-axis, which is good, bad, and the y-axis, which is long, short.
I mean, I just say a good show is a good show, quite frankly.
That's right.
No matter how long
it should
short
be exactly
it is.
As long as it
size
needs to be.
Size doesn't count.
Exactly, and I think that's the motto of the festival. However, Dickie Bow is one of the greatest lip-sync artists in the world, has performed everywhere except Australia, and has made this perfect one-hour piece of theatre, lip-syncing, but to interviews with people like John Gielgud. With Laurence Olivier, with Kenneth Branagh, all the people, quite a lot of people who've played Hamlet.
No way.
And it's a piece of theatre about, it's called Remember Me, with a hyphen between re and member. Remember Me, and it's about the role of Hamlet, and particularly the Daniel Day-Lewis production, in which Daniel Day-Lewis walked out halfway through a show and was replaced by Ian Charlson, who was one of the first people who openly died of AIDS in the UK, having been in Chariots of Fire playing Eric Liddell, but he was very ill when he did this production. So it's this exquisite exploration of the nature of Hamlet as a play, but also the nature of sexuality and life and illness.
And it's all lip-synced.
And it's all lip-synced. There's this great Hamlet remix tape, which you can see on our website, actually. And it's of Dickie taking particularly the voices of Gielgud and Richardson and in quite a high-energy way lip-syncing to them with this kind of dance track. And that's the first bit. But then it moves into this beautiful piece of almost seance-like theatre.
It's about the first thing that went to my mind when it was something that Melburnians can't experience from overseas, is that this festival just might have bad coffee.
we should blaze a trail. So interestingly, the one coffee comment I have been making, we have an act called Asuna, who is a Japanese artist who has 100 keyboards. It's called 100 keyboards. I think that's where they got the title.
Keyboards or keyboardists?
Keyboards.
Oh my god.
So it's 100 cheap Casio keyboards or other makes are available. And during the show, he goes around with lollipop sticks and he jams lollipop sticks into notes so they all start playing the same chord until eventually you have 100 keyboards playing the same chord. It's at the substation.
I was about to say, where is that happening? Because that sound is going to be amazing.
But also my question is, how much more Melbourne can you get with one gig? And the answer is none more Melbourne. And I'm going to watch that gig drinking a flat white out of an avocado shell. That's a fact.
So it blows my mind. How do you find these works? How do you find artists and works like this, because it's all so different. It's just great.
Some of it is travelling and seeing work, and some of it is work I've seen or my colleagues have seen that we've wanted to present for years. So actually there's a kind of 30 shows that I'm still desperate at any given moment to present, and there are a few here like the Fire Gardens, which will transform the whole of the Royal Botanic Gardens using fire and fire sculptures, 6,500 fire cans over 4 nights. And so for 3 hours a night, between 5,000 and 10,000 people get to walk for 1.5 kilometres through the Royal Botanic Gardens, and everywhere you look is fire.
I feel like that's going to be the most exercise I'm going to get all year round, just doing
It's worth doing, but also once you get halfway, you've got to make your way back. So yeah. it's perfect exercise. And that's a work that I've wanted to present in Australia for a bunch of years, and I couldn't obviously present it in Perth where there was a total fire ban. And so now you get to a place...
Or no culture.
Look at you trying to create a wall between things.
I see what happened. I see, this is how you work. Suddenly, extended podcast edition with all the fighting.
Save that for on air.
So work like that is work which we've wanted to present for a while. And some of it is just, this is the moment to present an artist or a work. And so we have one of the greatest choral ensembles in the world, the Los Angeles Master Chorale, performing a work of polyphony from several hundred years ago, a seven different part piece of polyphonic choral singing, which has been then redirected by Peter Sellers. It's just exquisite work, and they've never been to Australia. So the moment you can get them, you just
do
grab them.
Is there a work that you think everyone must think I'm crazy to have this be a part of the festival, but it's just going to be amazing?
More than you'd think.
You're going just one.
I think that's the festival. That is our festival. I would say, and I'm just glancing through this, the one that has surprised me, I think I would go Frogman. It's a work I went to see in Edinburgh by a UK-based company who've worked with virtual reality Oculus Rift headsets, making a work about a story of a murder or disappearance in Queensland 30 years ago. And so you've got a British company, virtual reality headsets set in Queensland, and nothing about that. I went just to be angry.
Yeah. Okay, you
were set. I was channeling my inner Red, and I was thinking, this is gonna make me furious. There's no way this is gonna work. And they used the headsets for the flashbacks. So the live theatre is in front of you. The woman is talking to the police in present time about the girl who disappeared. And then you put the headsets on when you're told, and you're back in the bedroom of three kids talking, children on film, talking about what's happened and has anyone seen her. And then you're back in the present day, and then you go back to the story, and you're under the sea watching the frogmen go around the coral reef. And it's, for the first time ever, it's a piece of narrative theatre that uses virtual reality in a way that works, but also the narrative of it is perfect. And they, even though they're not from here, people they're from the UK, they came over here and they worked enough to really get how Australia probably was in 1995. Not that I was here then.
Oh God, that's a lot of research.
Yeah, so and that's at Theatre Works for just a week.
You know what I think's great about it as well is when you're looking at all this stuff, you know, it's not just one night here. You're trying to get it as much as you can. Like over the 19 days, there is so much that you can immerse yourself into.
Yes, absolutely. And what I always hope people do is they'll go and see the circus and the fire, because who doesn't love circus and fire? And they'll go and see probably either the or Ryuichi Sakamoto. They'll go and see somebody who they're passionate about musically. Mm. And then you want people to take that one leap of faith, that one piece of trust where they say, you know what, if I enjoyed that, maybe this thing I've never heard of will be great. And then you hope it appeals.
Absolutely. We want to thank you so much for coming and joining us today on Mad Wednesday. Everyone should be jumping online and checking out the program or grabbing a copy of it, because it's all around Melbourne.
Yep.
It's Melbourne International Arts Festival. It is happening from the 3rd of October to the 21st of October. And you know what? Why wait? Don't wait until you start seeing the reviews and seeing what's going on or hearing bits and pieces. Jump online, check out the program, get yourself some tickets and dive into something a little bit different. Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us today.
You've been listening to a Mad Wednesday Joy podcast, driving you home and keeping you sane for your hump day, live every Wednesday from 4 on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.